Now, back to Open House with Team Reba.
Welcome back to Open House with Team Reba. I'm Eric Osnes from Home Street Bank.
And I'm Reba Hass of Team Reba.
And we're here with Mike Spence from Helsel Fetterman talking about waterfront lawns. Scary stuff with that. Reminder, our guests, this is a live call-in show. Mm-hmm. So if you have questions, you can reach us toll-free at Reba.
866-712-1300.
All right. You didn't even cheat. Good job.
No, I don't have to. I haven't memorized.
I'm the one who forgets those numbers, not you.
I know. Yeah. I know. You're always like, 8994. I'm like, what? No, so speaking of information, we want to make sure that we get Mike's office
info
out there. So they are on Facebook. I'm looking at it right now at Helsel Fetterman. And they also are on Twitter at Helsel, H-E-L-S-E-L-L is how it's spelled. And then they have their website, which is H-E-L-S-E-L-L.com.
Mm-hmm.
So you can go to any of those. In fact, did you say, Mike, that if someone typed in the Helsel.com, it would take you straight to the Facebook page?
I am not the technology
person of the firm.
I would guess the answer is yes, though. We have a very savvy tech guy.
I will test it out right now. Yeah, it's okay, very light.
Perfect. Perfect.
Yeah, we're big fans of this because we do a ton of social media ourselves for the show and our businesses. So we're constantly testing these things out. Although
I'm not sure it's coming up.
Yep,
there
it's there. No, you
all
actually
right,
have no. You have a traditional website as well as a Facebook page, and then you also have your Twitter site. So.
Perfect.
You're all good there.
Perfect. So, Mike, think of all the you mentioned shoreline, the shoreline master plans, of course, short part of the Shoreline Management Act. We also have the Growth Management Act. We've got all these different restrictions and things. What's the most complicated transaction you've come up with?
Oh my God! Well, the one I was just telling you about.
You're giving him PTSD. Stop.
Where the river changed course. That was insanely complicated. We had three surveyors. All three of them had different opinions. One of them admitted the day before going to court that they were wrong. That caused a sleepless night for several of us.
I bet.
The trial was postponed, and it ended up settling, but it was that was extremely complicated. I mean, reading five-page legal descriptions written in 1940.
Mm-hmm.
Not my
form of recreation.
Not my cup of tea either.
Interesting.
They can get quite long and
confusing. The legal description was to something, you know, down to the water where the tree leans over the bank.
Right, exactly.
What does that mean?
My gosh.
Well, that probably meant something completely different that year versus five decades later.
Right. A lot of trees are leaning over the bank after this weekend.
That little tree you know, in 1940 is either gone or it's a monster now. So.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. Interesting. I mean, most people, when you buy a home or property, you don't even really need to worry about your property changing on you like that. You know, your legal description. Case of waterfront, that can absolutely happen.
Unless you're on a slope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's talk about, and then we've got Growth Management Act and how does that play into waterfront? You know, can you have setbacks on one side because it's water and setback on another side because you're in a sensitive area, or heaven forbid there's a, I don't know, spotted owl or something like that in there?
Well, fortunately, the Growth Management Act, which was passed in 1990 and requires urban density, is coordinated with the Shoreline Management Act.
So okay.
We dodged a bullet there. The Growth Management Act really addresses zoning.
Mm-hmm.
But the potential conflicts with the Shoreline Management Act really come from possibly the Endangered Species Act, for one.
Mm.
Salmon's an endangered species. There's a special set of rules for those. That may not be consistent with what the Shoreline Master Program is. It's you have to look in multiple locations. If there's a conflicting regulation, the stricter of the two controls. So you might have a bald eagle protection plan that calls for, you know, a setback of 100 feet, and, you know, the Shoreline Master Program might say 75, and so you're at 100.
Got it.
Things like that happen fairly often.
Okay, got it.
I want to go back to the thing about docks, because you had a hilarious example in the class I sat in on of people on lakes, like little small round lakes, and the directions that, you know, their properties would go into the water. And that I wish this was a visual thing, because the pictures you had of where the dock went and how the neighbor built another dock Over the top of the other guy's dock.
That's right. My clients were at the head of a cove, and he had a dock. And when you're at the head of a cove, the boundaries, when you go out into the water, converge. And my client's neighbor didn't have enough frontage to have a dock without crossing over the top of my client's dock. And so he just
couldn't stand
that. So he went to Home Depot and got a bunch of his buddies one Saturday morning, and they built a dock right over the top of my client's dock. And of course, my client took pictures of it.
Oh, yeah, it was great. He was like showing like how he was having coffee watching this just horrible thing going on outside. But he's just, I couldn't believe how calm it seemed
He had permits for that happening. For that dock.
He didn't have, my client had permits. This other guy didn't. He had a bad experience getting those permits. He had to get a permit actually to demolish the dock that he didn't get a permit to build.
I know. They always make that
crack about, you know, like neighbors make, or what is it, fences make good neighbors.
Yeah.
But it just sounds like when it comes to properties that are along water, it just seems like there's so many situations that would come up that like people could probably just really start hating each other. Like,
I personally have stories. I have a neighbor who converted her non-waterfront cabin into a rental, a vacation rental, and all the photos show my beach and my oysters, which I spend a lot of time maintaining.
Yeah.
And so her guests show up thinking I got a beachfront property here, and they pile out on the beach and shuck the oysters and all of that.
Yeah. I know a good lawyer you could talk to.
Yeah. I mean, it's
your property. I mean, you can exclude. Can you put signs up? And
we've done all of that. Yeah,
in fact, they put a massive log out at one point, and she went over and cut chunks out of the log, if I remember correctly,
to make the egress easier for her clients to get onto the beach to get
the
oysters.
He was trying to block them, and then she still went beyond that. I mean, it's like I've heard these stories for years from Eric, and I'm just like, I can't believe. Or other people who randomly would come on and just.
Right, yeah.
Raid the whole beach of all the oysters. Like, you had cameras watching some lady load up, you know, like garbage bags full of oysters. And it's like, these people have no idea how much you guys have invested in purchasing these things to help create what's there.
To maintain that habitat. Yeah. You know, to reseed the beach and keep the oysters going and all of that. It's fairly expensive.
Yeah, it just blows me away because people think that, because I have another friend of mine who tells me about how they'll go out and they'll be, you know, getting different seafood and whatnot when they go camping. And I'm like, are you on public land or do you know?
No, they won't know. No, I've actually had people argue with me when they're, you know, digging oysters or digging clams and things like that on the beach. And they tell me,
you don't own this.
Yeah, you know, so much.
I do.
Not quite as nice as that. But yeah, absolutely. So, I can only imagine you've got some pretty interesting information, you know, with stories with all of that.
You should send them out there during the red tide.
Yeah.
Oh, God. That's awful.
Not a bad idea.
Okay. So your office does more than just, I know we have you on here talking about waterfront property, but what else does your firm get into? I mean, because I've got actually a little flyer on you guys, and there's quite a bit of, you said land use.
Real estate land use. We do a lot of estate planning, probate, family law. We have a strong business department. We'll form your business and operate it. We have litigators. We've been around for 126 years, so a little bit of everything.
That's why you don't have any hair left.
That's correct, yeah. Okay. I'm actually not here.
Okay, wow. So how many attorneys do you have in your office?
We're just under 40.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So this is just the flyer I've got just only has a few real estate attorneys.
We have seven real estate attorneys in the office.
Excellent.
But you have around 40.
In the firm.
Yeah. In the firm. Oh, wow. I didn't even realize you guys were that large.
We are.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good for me to know. Okay. I refer business all the time for all kinds of different things. So it's good for me to know even more about your business. So good.
Great.
Thank you. I'm glad you were here today.
Well, Mike, we're really glad that you were on today. So again, really like to thank Mike Spence, Helsel Fetterman. And thanks for being on the show. Next week, we're here every week every Tuesday at 3:00. Thanks for joining. Have a great week. We'll talk to you next week.
Me.
Thank you for listening to Open House with Team Reba. To contact us, visit Team Reba at re/MaxMetroEastside on Facebook or email info@TeamReba.com. Join us again next Tuesday at 3 for more Open House with Team Reba here on Business Radio 1300 KKOL. Program sponsored by Team Reba of RE/MAX Metro East Side and Eric Osnes of Home Street Bank Home Mortgage.